Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Heroes Unlimited Revised 2nd Edition, the second printing from December 1998. Today we're discussing page 236 of Heroes Unlimited. We got two orders of business today, or should I say tonight. Lest you forget, it is still Hell Night. I'm still re-recording episodes that I lost in a big-ass computer crash. So I'm all about business right now, and we got two orders of business. Number one, Borgen gets a new power on this page, her final power. This is one I was worried about when I first rolled it. It is multiple limbs. Here's the thing. Borgen, I love her. You know that I love her. She's got very little going for her in terms of what this game's tables have offered her. She is unlikable. To others, I like her just fine. But according to the rules, unlikable. Not attractive, apparently, by conventional Earth standards. You can't see all these air quotes I'm doing. But whatever is the paradigm of physical attractiveness for anthropomorphic pugs, she doesn't meet it. As though that weren't bad enough, her powers, body weapons, it's all right. She could turn her limbs into melee weapons. It's kind of cool, but she's already got a badass alien trident, so not super useful. Alter physical body, again, a cool power, but how much does it help you as a dog lady trying to make it in this cold, cruel world to be able to look like some other dog lady? Mental stun doesn't even fit her image. Really, the only thing she's got going for her, the only really fun thing I like that I rolled for her on a random table, is that she's got a wardrobe full of fancy human clothes. That's awesome. She's a big, tall pug girl, and she's got all these cool clothes. It's all about the look. It's all about the silhouette with Borgen. And now, here come multiple limbs to fuck it all up. Here, I had dreams of a 6-foot-tall pug girl in a fancy evening gown, or a tuxedo, or a poodle skirt, only with a pug on it, as we've discussed on the podcast before. Or, hey, a square dancing outfit. Anything that a regular pug would look cute in, a 6-foot-tall pug girl would look cute in. And none of those looks are improved by, you know, an extra pair of arms hanging out. So I really had to think about this power, but I came up with a solution I'm pretty happy with. It says here, quote, "A character with this ability has an extra pair of limbs, either arms and hands or legs and feet." First of all, legs and feet, right out. There is no good option there. You can choose to have 4 humanoid legs and feet, like the 4-legged man. That's gross. Or you could be a kind of centaur, it says here. And there you've got 2 terrible sub options. You could have your back 2 legs be like horse legs, and then your front 2 legs are like human legs, which is somehow even worse than having 4 human legs. Think of the running. Think of the hideous running. No, thank you. I do not want to be a half centaur, and I don't want to be a whole centaur, especially because this wouldn't even be a centaur. This would be like a pugtar. If she had all animal legs, they're all going to be like pug legs. Just, again, imagine an extended pug-like butt with little pug legs, but 4 of them, but blown up to human size. Already, I mean, even the conventional, like the stock pug, not nature's most elegant and efficient design. There are many wonderful body plans to fit many different ecological niches in this world, but one of those wonderful body plans is not the pug's bugle corn snack shaped body, or kind of like an old-fashioned cheerleading bullhorn on like a little stand. It's no good. Then you make it bigger. How am I supposed to ride in cars? What am I supposed to do on an elevator with my big pug butt? So legs, feet, no, that's right out. That leaves arms, and there are more options here. Your arms don't have to be arms per se. There's a loose definition of arms for this power. The text kindly offers that if I am not interested in prehensile hands, then I can have crab claws, or I could even turn all my manipulating hands and arms into crab claws. Thanks, game. Hey, why don't I just be a crab? How about that? Why don't I just give up tools and the touch of a woman forever and ever for the privilege of having 4 goddamn crab claws that can't do anything? And there's no guidance for this, by the way. Your crab claws, your lion claws, your bear paws, whatever kind of hand or arm you want, you get the same bonuses, which include an improved ability to dual-wield melee weapons, something for which crabs are well known, a plus 15% to climb, and a plus 5% to pick pockets, pick locks, and do palming. Which, why the fuck not? I mean, as we talked about before, if you've got twice the normal size palms, somehow that makes you worse at palming. So I guess it follows, according to bizarro Heroes Unlimited logic, if you're a crab and you have no palms, then you're the best at palming. and picking locks and picking pockets. Never fucking trust a crab is what I'm saying. They're the carnies of the deep. And I don't want crab claws. I mean, what I have here is a character who, let's be honest, she's an alien, she's a 6-foot-tall woman, she's a pug, she's a medical experiment, her limbs can turn into medieval weapons, she's got a non-psionic attack, she can't breathe air, she's got vision problems, she's a dapper dresser, she wields a trident, she's a trained assassin. There's a lot going on here. I don't really need to add crab to the mix. The iconography here is already a little busy. But I do have one more option for limbs, fortunately. If I don't want full-blown arms slash pincers slash claws, I can instead have tentacles. Now we're getting somewhere. Because, as attentive listeners will know, in Heroes Unlimited, the best kind of prehensile tail you can have, and I love a prehensile tail, is a modified tentacle, because tentacles can do all the things you want from a tail in a comic book, such as sword fighting, and that's all. If you can sword fight with your tail, you got it made. I mean, it's nice if it can help you climb, but who cares? I got hands for that. I need to sword fight people who are directly behind my butt. Can't do that with hands. That's why you get a prehensile tail. And a modified tentacle can do it. So, I thought, this actually makes it all come together. Borgen is a medical experiment. What if this experiment was an attempt to regrow her limbs? What if she was like a trained military officer? We know this because she had assassin training. She was trained to go into combat, and in combat, she lost one of her arms and her tail. And then she got an experimental medical treatment to grow them back. And as a side effect of the treatment, she became, you know, super strong and gained the ability to turn her limbs into weapons. And they regrew her tail, which now counts as a tentacle, and her arm. And this is also why she can, like, alter her physical shape and stuff. Her body sort of became, like, malleable, and, like, with her will, she can reshape it. Because that's, like, a side effect of the regrowing technology. And the upshot of this is, not only can she sword fight with her tail, in the sense of holding a sword with her tail, she can actually turn her tail into a sword and fight with it. So I really pulled this one back from the brink. I'm very happy. This kind of brings everything together for Borgen. This whole medical experiment idea, the nature of the treatment she was given. Mental stun is still like the odd one out, but it's fine. She's got swirly eyes. That's cute. So that's basically a wrap on Borgen. Now that her little curly tail is a weapon, I mean, that's the cherry on top. I might give her some mundane equipment later, but for the most part, her character sheet is done. And so you might see that turn up on the Instagram sooner or later. There's one more order of business today, which is, of course, the dumbest thing on this page. I haven't forgotten what this podcast is about, although give it time. Hell Knight's just beginning. We got to talk about the dumbest thing on page 236. And, you know, I've got a few different options here, but I'm going to go with a very 90s power. A good guess somebody actually had for one of Borgen's powers. I mentioned that one of them was quite 90s. Night Stalking. Night Stalking is a new addition to Heroes Unlimited. It is very much like a tack-on power. The thing about Heroes Unlimited's second edition is that it came around at a time when fancy pants horror comics were starting to be a thing. And so, for the most part, Heroes Unlimited is a more traditional, kind of a Bronze Age feeling game in its bones. But then it's got every now and again something tacked on about, you know, the undead or demons or dark magic and, like, horror factor. The thing where many of these powers that you'll find in the super abilities section have an optional horror factor. Like, superheroes have always been able to, you know, turn into living fire. But then in the 90s, people realized suddenly, like, oh shit, that's scary. Let's get Frank Miller in here. Get some overwrought captions about prostitutes. Show somebody getting burned alive. Bada bing, bada boom, serious literature. So Night Stalking is a prime example of this, because it is a very on-the-nose horror superhero power. It's basically, it makes you blade. I mean, let's be honest. What happens with Night Stalking is it gives you extra abilities to go fight the undead and other spooky things at night or in spooky environments. Seriously. It says here of Night Stalking, quote, "It can only be used at night or in a dim, eerie environment, such as a basement, cave, or abandoned building." This is like a weird dynamic because this power is very much geared toward fighting the undead, specifically vampires. Normally, when you go to fight a vampire, you want to fight them in the daytime, right? That's normally the push and pull of vampire hunting, is they want to go sleep, you know, in a coffin, in a dark cave, or in the bowels of a castle, and you want to fight them where there's a big window you can dramatically pull the curtain off of and kill them with sunlight at some point. Or, you know, out in the countryside or on the city streets where you can hold them off until sunrise and then they burst into flames. I guess the ideal place to fight a vampire would be like Disneyland for like the typical vampire hunter. You know, cheerful, broad daylight, a general sense of security. And speaking of security, excellent security. Security at Disneyland is no joke. Honestly, they don't need you. They could kill a vampire. And I would watch that horror movie. But all of this is not for the Night Stalker. The character with Night Stalking, your thing is you get extra damage and extra SDC and stuff when you fight vampires at night and or in spooky places. So you're trying to lure the vampire into the spooky place, right? Like, you're hanging out in dark alleys and shabby old kill houses and dark caves and spooky castles, trying to, like, lure the vampires in. And if there's a vampire who knows that you're after them, naturally, like, they don't want to get vampire hunted. So they're going to be trying to stick to cheerful places. They're going to go to Disneyland and, like, hang out in It's a Small World during the day. So that if you find them there, your powers aren't going to work because it's, like, too cloying. So this kind of reverses the typical vampire-vampire hunter dynamic. And it gives you this weird perverse incentive to go seeking out dangerous, creepy environments to fight vampires in. Again, very on the nose and very tacked on, and that leads us to probably the dumbest thing about this power, which is that this power gives you the ability not only to resist being turned into a vampire, but also to recognize vampires, despite their tricky undead deceptions. You can just tell when somebody is a vampire. When I say you, I mean you, the character. You, the player, have no fucking clue, because there aren't really vampires in this game. I mean, the closest thing we get is the mega hero with the vampiric powers, but that's, like a real gray area. You know, if you are a mega hero who has the superpower of wingless flight and invulnerability, and you're super strong but you need to drink blood to live, okay, you're a vampire. But if you're a superhero whose deal is, like, stretching and adhesion, but you need to suck lasers out of other superheroes, is that a vampire? You don't drink blood. You don't have any classic vampire powers. Similarly, Villains Unlimited, it's a supplement for Heroes Unlimited. That book has vampires, kind of, but they're like delusional super science vampires. It's like somebody gave a dude bat powers, and as a side effect, now he's allergic to sunlight, and he thinks of himself as a vampire, but is he objectively one? I don't know, but I guess you do. Night Stalking just gives you an intuitive sense of it. It's like pornography. You know it when you see it. Maybe it takes you a minute. You know, a dude jumps you with fangs, and you kind of take a second, squint at him. Sorry, sir. You're not a vampire. I can just tell. You should let him down easy, though. Like, good try. I mean, don't get me wrong. You're scary. You drink blood, you say? That's great for you. I'm glad you drink blood. Keep drinking blood. It would be my privilege to slay you, but it's just, that's not how it works. I only slay vampires, and I can't explain it. I can just tell you're not one. Not technically. And I think you're going to be given this speech a lot, because I don't see any evidence of anything that is a traditional vampire at all in this core book. I mean, the vampires in Rifts, they're closer, but that's, number one, not exactly this continuity. And number two, they're pretty non-traditional too. I don't know if they count. There's really no guidance on this. And I guess guidance would be useful, but honestly, this game just isn't about this. The vast majority of player characters are not going to be interested in going on vampire hunts, especially weird vampire hunts where you have to, like, lure vampires into spooky places to kill them. And true vampires just are kind of outside the scope of Heroes Unlimited. So this power is dumb in a way that's really symptomatic of the fact that, like, this game kind of half-ass wants to do superhero horror, but we're not really prepared to give any space to it. It's just not what this game is about. I would be remiss not to point out my personal favorite dumb thing about this power, maybe not the dumbest thing because it is contested rules material, but this power does give you a plus 50 SDC at night. Now, I'm not totally clear on how temporary SDC works in Heroes Unlimited, but I think a valid ruling would be that if that SDC goes away, then whatever damage you've taken applies to your original SDC and hit point. I think that would be a reasonable way to run it. That being said, one thing I love is that this could lead to an ironic situation where you're a vampire hunter, you're fighting a vampire, you deliberately sought them out at night so that you could fight them in a spooky nighttime environment where you get bonuses, but then you lose track of time, the sun rises, a shaft of sunlight comes through that window and hits you, it's now daytime, you lose your 50 SDC, and you fucking die at sunrise before you can kill the vampire. The irony potential here is very high, and on just a basic temperamental level, I will always take the side of the vampire over the side of the vampire hunter, so I approve of this dumb little detail. I didn't go much today into the fact that this power kind of skews the campaign toward vampire hunting, whether or not that's what everyone else wants to do. And the reason I didn't talk much about it is because next time we're going to be addressing a power that has the same flaw on a much grander scale as we conclude the minor super ability section on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That is ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is To the Top by Midair Machine, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/askagain. That's ask again, two words with a space in between. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.